As I thought of a message this morning, of course, naturally Mother's Day is one of those. It's easy to come up with a subject. It's hard to come up with a message sometimes. I did some research, and I found a job description. The title that is given to this job is domestic engineer. And what triggered it was I was reading a blog earlier in the week, and this lady was talking about a friend of hers had gone down to the tax office and was filling out the taxes or doing something there, and the person asked her what she did, and she said, "I'm a stay-at-home mom." And the lady got flustered. She couldn't figure out what to do with that. And it was like, what do I do with that? And so this lady decided that she was not going to allow that to happen. So when she went to do the very same thing, they asked her, what is your job? And she said, "I'm a domestic engineer." And the lady was proud to go and fill that in. So finally she asked her, she said, "What do you do?" And so she was ready. She had this long, flowery job description that she's a research analyst, and she researches food and how it affects those that eat it. And I mean, she just had this, she was ready. And this lady was so impressed. And so as I thought of that, I was like, well, that sounds like my mom or my wife. You know, I don't want their job. Trust me. They do a lot. Now, if I had to do it, I could try. There's parts of it I'd never be able to fill. And I know that. But here was another blog that I read then. Domestic engineer, household CEO, and director of child development. While staying home to raise the kids can be a rewarding experience, it does require a lot of work. In fact, moms juggle so many daily tasks that Insure.com estimates that if moms were monetarily compensated, they'd earn about $78,000 a year. Now, I can't afford my wife. All of a sudden, she's out of my price range, you know? I'm going to keep her. I told her she's too expensive to let go. As with any position, the essential stay-at-home mom's responsibility and tasks can be summarized in a job description. Staying at home to care for children is significantly more work than just hanging out with kids all day. A stay-at-home mom job description encompasses dozens of careers that earn her the title of domestic engineer. Here are just a few occupation titles for stay-at-home moms. Teacher. Mothers teach children their first words, colors, and shapes. They continue to enrich their learning by helping them with their homework and school projects. These tasks occupy around 10 hours of the typical stay-at-home mom's time per week. That's not including the non-educational things they teach their kids, such as manners, culinary skills, and self-confidence. Chef. Bureau of Labor Statistics describes the role of a chef as one who develops recipes, plans menus, orders food inventory, and ensures sanitary kitchen conditions. You moms might sometimes wonder if your kitchen is sanitary. Don't worry about it. Does this sound like a stay-at-home mom's responsibility? Yes, it does. Moms generally plan and prepare breakfast, lunch, and dinner for their household, shop for ingredients, and clean the kitchen afterwards. This accounts for about 14 hours of the typical mom's week. Event planner, housekeeper, accountant, chauffeur. Title after title after title of that job description. As I studied, as I read, as I researched, I found some interesting things that were another part of that job description. A woman had quit work to stay home and take care of her new baby daughter. Countless hours of peekaboo and other games slowly took their toll. One evening, she smacked her bare toes on the corner of a dresser, grabbing her foot, sank to the floor. Her husband rushed to her side and asked where it hurt. She looked at her husband through her tear-filled eyes and managed to moan, "It's the piggy that ate the roast beef." The teacher asked a little boy, Johnny, tell me frankly, do you say your prayers before you eat? Johnny replied, I don't have to. My mom is a good cook. No, that's pretty true. You know you're a mother when you offer to cut up other people's food. You hide in the bathroom to be alone. You hope ketchup is a vegetable because it's the only one your kids will eat. You read that the average five-year-old asks 592 questions a day, and you feel proud that your child is above average. You use your own saliva to clean your child's face. You count the sprinkles on each kid's cupcake to make sure they're all equal. You stop criticizing the way your mother raised you. You hear your mother's voice coming out of your mouth. You hire a sitter because you can't remember the last time you went out alone with your husband. Then you spend half the night checking on the kids. You say at least once a day, I'm not cut out for this job, but you wouldn't trade it for the world. That's true. The title of my message this morning is The Influence of Faith. You know, for all of us, there's no way that we could exhaust the influential power a mother has, ever. Abraham Lincoln supposedly said, all that I owe, I owe to my darling mother. And you know, I realized this morning that in any group, there will be people who have not been able to experience being a mother. And, you know, what I do realize and understand, in the Old Testament, that was actually not a, it was not a, it was seen as a curse if a woman was not able to have a child. And I hope today that we don't feel that way, because it does not make a person a lesser person. I was talking to Phyllis this morning, I think it was. I have a client there in fact, what did she tell me the other day? She's 78. And they never had children. Very nice couple. I've worked for them for quite a few years off and on. But what they did is they actually have found a family that they have adopted. And they call these children their grandchildren, period. There are ways that we can fill those roles. And I don't know, I've heard a little bit of the story of this couple that they've adopted, but there are ways that we can influence others. And so I would just encourage those who have not experienced motherhood, seize the opportunities that you have and make a difference in other people's lives. Mom, somehow mom, our hearts than dad. And this is not anything against dads, but you know, if you walk into a prison and you walk up to an inmate and you say, tell me about your dad, you're usually not going to get a real long conversation out of it. But you ask a man a question, talk to me about your mama, and you're going to sit down for a while. They're going to tell you. There's something about mom that is different to all of us. Yes, dads have a large role to play, but mom is there for more time than most of us dads are. She is the best caregiver a child can have. And I was listening to Dr. Laura one afternoon. I was bored, and I do that when I'm bored. I listen to Dr. Laura some days. She will unbore you very quickly, but she was having a conversation with some woman who was concerned about, I forget exactly what it was, and she was pretty harsh. Dr. Laura got pretty harsh with this lady. She said, oh, I know what it was. She was having a conversation because part of the day was going to be with this grandmother, part of the day was going to be with this grandmother, and the other part was going to be with another one. And Dr. Laura said, are you nuts? I mean, she said, Why all of this? And the girl, I forget what the answer was, and Dr. Laura said, there is no substitute for you, period. And that's right. Mothers, there is no substitute. I realize that there are times and circumstances where you need to do something different, but as far as taking care of your children, there is no substitute. And so when you make that commitment and when you do that, you are doing exactly what God has for you to do. Some days, yes, you wonder, what am I doing? Am I getting anywhere? Is it working? Some days it doesn't feel like it's working, but it will. Let's look at three mothers, and I want to move fairly quickly here. Three mothers that I'd like to just look at that go with the title, The Influence of Faith. The first one is Jochebed, and if you want to turn to Exodus 2, there's a couple verses there that we're going to look at. But Hebrews 11:23 says this, "By faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict." Now imagine that, a mother that had so much faith, she was not afraid of the king. He could kill her, but she didn't care. She had enough faith that she was determined that she was going to save this child's life. In chapter 2 of Exodus, I found it interesting that we read very little of all three of these mothers, but with Jochebed, in Exodus 2, it says, "Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it, put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile." Doesn't say a word about who she was. It just says she was his mother. But then in Exodus 6, verse 20, it names her. If I can find it. "Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. Amram lived 137 years. And then in Numbers 26, 59, there's only two places in the Bible where you read her name. And it's in Exodus 6:20 or Numbers 26. In I think it's in four places that it actually refers to her, but her name is only referred to twice in the Bible. In Exodus 2, a couple things that I want to look at is Jochebed's faith. She risked her life to save her son in verse 2. In verse 3, it says she fully trusted Moses to God's protection. She hid him for 3 months, but when she couldn't hide him anymore, she put him in a basket and put him in the water and then set a guard there, or his sister, to watch. And when the opportunity came, she became his nanny. She was willing to take that change in roles so that she could teach him about God. God arranged for Moses' mother to be there during his teachable years. And in Hebrews 11, she is seen as one of those who exhibited much faith and teaching her son about God. Hebrews 11:23, I just read, and I want to read the rest of that account. "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. A couple things here. Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be persecuted rather than to take the title of Pharaoh's son. In verse 27, he left Egypt and he was not afraid of Pharaoh. The faith of his mother, I believe, was what allowed him to have that confidence. In verse 28, he kept the Passover. He believed God when he said they would be protected. And then in verse 29, he led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. From his earliest days, Moses was infected with faith in God by his mother. While he grew up in a heathen environment, it did not influence his life choices. Yes, he made mistakes, but we must conclude that he became God's vessel to lead the Israelites to freedom because of his mother's influence. The second mother that I'd like to just refer to is in Acts 12:12, and it is Mary, the mother of John Mark. Let's read what Acts says about her. Acts 12, not Acts 2. No wonder I can't find it. Acts 12:12. When this had dawned on him, and this is the account of Peter escaping from prison, and let me just back up to verse 11. When Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Mary evidently was a very hospitable person, and she had created an atmosphere that had great influence on her son John Mark. Her home was a meeting place, and from what I can read, again, this is about the only thing that you'll see in the scriptures about her. But from what I can read, she was normal for her to open up her home to the church, to people to come and come and to be there and to worship, to have Bible studies, whatever it was. But it was a normal thing for her home to be full of people. John Mark grew up surrounded by believers and came to a personal faith in Jesus because of his mother's influence. Mary infected her son with such faith in Jesus and love for his followers that earthly situations could not overcome that faith. There is some, I found this interesting because I think I've probably always understood that John Mark actually wrote the Gospel of Mark. And I actually was kind of shocked when I did some reading because there's some argument about that he may not be. And I'm not sure where they get that. But anyway, there's most historians believe that John wrote the Gospel of Mark and he accompanied Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And so John Mark was a person of influence because of his mother's faith. And the third one then is in 2 Timothy 1:5. Eunice, the mother of Timothy. And again, we read very little about Eunice. As far as I know, I did a little research and again, didn't find anything else about her, other than what we read right here, and that she is the mother of Timothy. Paul again is talking to Timothy, and he's encouraging him in his faith. He says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. The godly influence on Timothy, Paul refers to as going back to his grandmother. So now we've pulled grandmother in to mother. We read nothing about Timothy's father. I'm not even sure. I've done some research to try to find that out, and I've not been able to find that. But obviously Timothy's mother and grandmother made an environment that he was willing to do what God called him to do. Timothy's name actually means honoring God. He was Paul's assistant for 17 years. And in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, Paul refers to him as my true son in the faith. I believe that all three of these men were very influential in history and in influencing people to faith because of their mother's influence. One of the things that I come to conclude through that is you may never be known other than mom of a child who may go on to do something very big, be very famous, but you will never lose that title of mom. Jochebed, very, very little we know about her. But we know everything about Moses. We know a lot about what Moses did and what he was able to do because of Jochebed's faith. The same thing with John Mark and the same thing with Timothy. We know that they were able to influence many people because of their mother's faith. And so today, maybe you're looking at the snotty noses and the messy diapers and teenagers who are out of control sometimes. That doesn't happen, does it? But you, as mom, have the most important job in the world. And you, as grandmothers, have as much a role as mom to influence and affect your children with a spirit of faith as you live and take care of them every day. No one ever knows where that child will go or what that child will do to influence generations. I'm going to close with a poem. And I want you mothers to think about this. Remember this on those days when you're not sure what's happening. Whatever you write on the child of a heart, I messed that one up. Whatever you write on the heart of a child, I had it right, I messed it up. No water can wash it away. The sand may be shifted, the billows be wild, the efforts of time may decay. Some stories may perish, some songs be forgot, but this graven record, time changes it not. Your influence on those children is permanent. And you can take that to the bank. How you live your faith, no matter what those children do in the future, will be permanent. And you can remember that. You hold history, the future, in your hands. Brian, do you have a song? 732. And you can stand. Father, this morning we're grateful for lessons from the scriptures that we can look at. We're grateful so much this morning for our mothers, our wives, our grandmothers, the influence that we can look at from the Bible, of people, of men, and who were able to influence the early church, who were able to influence the future of your people, because of the faith of their mothers. And this morning I pray that you would bless each mother here, each grandmother, each person who has an influence in the lives of children, whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else. I pray that you would bless them this morning with courage, that you would bless them with strength and the stamina that they need to fulfill the responsibility, to fill the role of mom. Father, we know that there's no one that can take the place of mom. And we pray that you would help us to honor them, help us to respect them, to live our lives with the same simple faith that they do each day. I pray that you would go with us this week. Help us to honor you in all that we do. Father, we just pray a blessing on each one. And we pray again for the Yoder family in Montezuma, God, as they again lay to rest another son. Would you bless them today and tomorrow and this coming week? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.